Lowe's knows when you're looking for reliability, the right brand makes all the difference. And now, Lowe's is the exclusive home improvement retailer for the Whirlpool water treatment line, including their Wi-Fi softener, under-sink filtration system, and more. With Whirlpool's proven performance and our everyday low prices, better tasting, better quality water is within reach. Shop pro-trusted brands like Whirlpool and more, in-store or online. Lowe's, we help you save.
Welcome to a special bonus episode of Hot Off the Wire. In this edition of our daily news program, we feature a selection of stories covering a variety of topics. I'm Terry Lipschitz, managing editor of the National Newsroom at Lee Enterprises and your curator of news. Be sure to subscribe to Hot Off the Wire through Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss daily news updates. And now, those stories from the Associated Press.
After the Department of Health and Human Services announced it was canceling $500 million in mRNA vaccine technology research, Health Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. posted a video to X, incorrectly arguing that mRNA vaccines are ineffective against respiratory viruses.
The vaccine paradoxically encourages new mutations and can actually prolong pandemics.
The Associated Press talked to health experts for their reaction.
It sends a chilling message.
Jeff Koller is a professor of RNA biology and therapeutics at Johns Hopkins University.
If we don't reverse these decisions soon, then we'll be watching other countries achieve innovation in this space.
Koller says mRNA vaccines do not prevent infection entirely, but they can prevent more serious illness.
This technology holds great promise.
Dr. Mike Osterholm is a former HHS advisor and the director of the Center for Infectious Disease Research and Policy at the University of Minnesota.
The piece yesterday that was absolutely devastating for those of us in public health to watch was the mis and disinformation that Secretary Kennedy shared.
A 2022 study published in the journal Lancet Infectious Diseases found that nearly 20 million lives were saved by mRNA COVID-19 vaccines during their first year. I'm Jennifer King.
A federal funding freeze at Harvard means researchers are being laid off and years of work is being put on hold. Harvard University professor Alberto Astudillo's research is literally frozen. The epidemiology and nutrition scientist has thousands of blood samples stored in liquid nitrogen freezers at the school. Those samples are key to his research in discovering the cure to multiple sclerosis and other neurodegenerative diseases.
NIH has been our major source of funding for the past 30 years, and in the past we were all complaining about it, but at the same time we recognized that it's the best system in the world.
Astudillo is one of hundreds of Harvard researchers who have fallen victim to the freeze on funding by the Trump administration. Harvard's funding received cuts after it rejected a series of demands from a federal anti-Semitism task force.
If I lose the people who are working with me, restarting from scratch will be very, very difficult.
I'm Haya Pinjwani.
President Trump and Russia's Vladimir Putin may visit soon in what would be the latest in a series of presidential meetings that have changed in tone over the years. Months after taking office in 2001, George W. Bush met with Putin in Slovenia.
And that's the beginning of a very constructive relationship.
The first of more than two dozen meetings.
First, I'd like to congratulate President Putin for being the only person that caught a fish today.
Including the so-called Lobster Summit in 2007 at the Bush compound in Maine.
Do I trust him? Yeah, I trust him.
And then a final time in Sochi a year later.
There's no doubt where he stands. That's why I like him.
The summits continued under Barack Obama, including a 2013 visit to the G20 in St. Petersburg.
It was a candid and constructive conversation, which characterizes my relationship with him.
But tensions grew the following year after Putin annexed the Crimean Peninsula, and 2 years after that, with allegations of Russian meddling in U.S. elections. Donald Trump met with Putin six times in his first term, most famously in 2018, where he stood alongside Putin in Helsinki and openly challenged U.S. intelligence findings of Russian interference in the 2016 election.
He just said it's not Russia. I will say this, I don't see any reason why it would be.
Joe Biden then met with Putin 4 years ago.
It was important to meet in person.
That was their only meeting. Hopes had been higher when Putin was prime minister from 2008 to 2012, and Dmitry Medvedev was president.
I've found a solid and reliable partner.
We are transforming a relationship.
Secretary of State Hillary Clinton famously gave her Russian counterpart a big reset button.
I am somebody who genuinely believes that the reset button has worked.
One problem. Instead of reset in Russian, the button had another word, meaning overload. I'm Sagar Meghani.
Hey everybody, it's Nicole Byer here with some hot takes from Wayfair. A cozy corduroy sectional from Wayfair? Yeah, that's a hot take. Go on and add it to your cart and take it. A pink glam nightstand from Wayfair? Scalding hot take. Take it before I do. A mid-century modern cabinet from Wayfair that doubles as a wine bar? Do I have to say it? It's a hot take. Get it at Wayfair.com and enjoy that free shipping too.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
45%, or less than half of Americans, think Black people face high levels of discrimination in the U.S. That's a substantial decline from 60% 4 years ago when many companies were launching efforts to promote diversity. That's according to a new poll from the Associated Press NORC Center for Public Affairs Research. The current poll found 32% of U.S. adults say Asians face a lot of racial discrimination. That's down from 45% in 2021. That 2021 poll was conducted not long after the first police officer was found guilty in the death of George Floyd and the killings of 8 people, including 6 Asians, at spas in Atlanta. The findings suggest public views on racial discrimination have shifted substantially. Asked if diversity, equity, and inclusion efforts reduce discrimination, 4 in 10 agreed, and about the same number said it makes no difference. Black and Hispanic respondents were more likely than white people to think that DEI efforts actually backfired, making the workplace more difficult for people like them. Jennifer King, Washington.
The European Union agency that tracks global warming says last month was the third warmest July on record, while not as hot as July 2023 or July 2024, which were the hottest and second hottest on record. The Copernicus report says that the planet's average surface temperature last month was still 2.25 degrees above the pre-industrial period, before humans began the widespread burning of fossil fuels like oil, gas, and coal. On July 25th, Turkey recorded its highest ever temperature of almost 123 degrees. Copernicus is the European Union's Earth observation system based on satellite and on-the-ground data collection. Scientists there say as long as the long-term warming trend persists, extreme weather events will continue to happen. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
The U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention says that most Americans get more than 50% of their calories from ultra-processed foods, energy-dense foods typically full of sugar, salt, and unhealthy fats. It's the first time the CDC has confirmed those high levels of consumption using dietary information collected from August 2021 to August 2023. The report says that for young people 18 and under, ultra-processed foods make up nearly 65% of the calories they consume each day. For adults, it's about 53%. The top sources, burgers and sandwiches, sweet baked goods, savory snacks, pizza, and sweetened drinks. I'm Donna Warder.
A new poll finds young people in the U.S. are less engaged in politics than older generations. Many young adults feel disillusioned with the political system and question the importance of voting. The Associated Press NORC Center for Public Affairs Research poll shows only about 2 in 10 young adults follow politics closely, compared with higher numbers among older Americans. The poll also shows about 1/3 of adults under age 30 identify as political independents, rejecting party labels. Despite this, youth voter turnout has been high in recent elections, suggesting potential for greater political engagement in the future. I'm Julie Walker.
The Perseids, a dazzling meteor shower, peaks early Wednesday, producing some 10 to 20 meteors per hour, according to the American Meteor Society. But the moon will be too bright and make it harder to see. Scientists say if you wait a week or so, you can get a better look at the shooting stars against a darker sky and possibly see some 60 to 100 meteors per hour. Several times a year, as the Earth orbits the sun, it passes through debris left by passing comets and sometimes asteroids. When fast-moving space rocks enter Earth's atmosphere, the debris encounters resistances from the air and becomes hot, eventually burning up. The surrounding air will sometimes glow briefly, leaving behind a fiery tail, the end of a shooting star. Scientists say you don't need any special equipment to watch the shooting star show, just a spot away from city lights. Donna Warder, Washington.
The number of millionaires in the U.S. is soaring, with many ordinary Americans now boasting a seven-figure net worth. A report from Swiss bank UBS found that 1 in 10 American adults have a net worth of at least $1 million, with 1,000 new millionaires added every day last year. This is thanks to rising home values, stock market gains, and decades of retirement savings. With inflation, $1 million is no longer the same as it once was, and much of the wealth millionaires have is tied up in houses and 401ks. But being a millionaire still holds symbolic weight, a word that's mentioned in everything from politics to popular music, as shorthand for rich. I'm Marcela Sanchez.
Vice President Vance is brushing off questions about whether he'll assume the MAGA mantle in the 2028 presidential election. Asked about Vance's prospects earlier this week, President Trump said it's too early to talk about, but Vance is doing a great job.
And he would be probably favored at this point.
While also talking up Secretary of State Marco Rubio this morning in the British countryside.
I don't want to talk about lowly things like politics in this grand house. Come on.
But Vance did.
I'm not really focused even on the election in 2026, much less 1-2 years after that.
Saying if they do a good job for the American people, the politics will take care of itself. Sagar Meghani, Washington.
Emmylou Harris and Brad Paisley are heading up the inductees for the Nashville Songwriters Hall of Fame. Emmylou Harris is a country music Hall of Famer. She's won 13 Grammys and is considered one of the great American folk singer-songwriters. Harris's hits include Boulder to Birmingham and Wrecking Ball. Brad Paisley is a 3-time Grammy winner with 41 songs on the Billboard Hot 100. So much cooler, the new class also includes Steve Bogart, Tony Martin, Jim Lauderdale, and Don Cook. Induction is in October in Nashville. I'm Ed Donahue.
Kamala Harris says she's written a book about her historic presidential campaign.
I cannot wait for you to read this.
It's called 107 Days, the length of her brief run.
The shortest presidential campaign in modern history.
In a social media video, Harris says she spent a lot of time thinking about it.
With candor and reflection, I've written a behind-the-scenes account of that journey.
The book will be published in September by Simon & Schuster, which will not give specifics about what Harris wrote about, including her thoughts on President Biden's fitness for office. Instead, the publisher says Harris, quote, addresses everything we would want her to address. Sagar Meghani, Washington.
Jen Powell is set to become the first woman to umpire in Major League Baseball when she works this weekend's games between the Miami Marlins and Atlanta Braves. The 48-year-old from New Jersey will work the bases in Saturday's doubleheader at Truist Park and the plate on Sunday. MLB's move comes 28 years after the gender barrier for game officials was broken in the NBA, 10 years after it ended in the NFL, and 3 years after the Men's Soccer World Cup employed a female referee. The NHL still has not had a woman referee. I'm Geffen Kuhlbach.
Two wildfires burning in the western United States are so hot that they're forming fire clouds. They can create their own unpredictable weather systems. The wildfire in Arizona that destroyed the Grand Canyon Lodge and dozens of other buildings has become a mega fire. Meanwhile, a wildfire in Utah's Monroe Canyon has burned 75 square miles. Arizona Fire Information Officer Lisa Jennings explains how fire clouds, or pyrocumulus clouds, work.
They suck in that superheated gas and create their own wind systems. If they get high enough, they can also create downdrafts, and that's something we really watch out for because that can quickly spread the fire and can be very dangerous for firefighters who are doing their work on the ground.
The same type of cloud recently formed a fire tornado that tore through an eastern Utah neighborhood with wind speeds at about 122 miles per hour. I'm Haya Panjwani.
Health officials want you to think twice before buying brightly colored energy shots and supplements often sold at gas stations, convenience stores, and smoke shops. The products are sometimes called gas station heroin and contain thionephrine, That's an antidepressant that can be addictive and carries the risk of serious side effects. U.S. poison control centers have reported a steady rise in calls linked to the drug for more than a decade. Tianeptine has never been approved by the FDA for any medical condition in the U.S. and cannot legally be added to foods and beverages or sold as a dietary supplement. About a dozen states have prohibited or restricted tianeptine. I'm Julie Walker.
A baby boy was born to a couple in Ohio who was developed from an embryo that had been frozen for more than 30 years. It's believed to be the longest storage time before a birth. Lindsay and Tim Pierce had been dealing with infertility issues for years. They used a handful of donated embryos that have been frozen since 1994. Their son was born a week ago. The embryo had been in storage for 11,148 days. Tim Child, a professor of reproductive medicine in Britain, says the age of the embryo should not be a problem.
There doesn't appear to be any degradation in embryo quality or risks of the embryos when they're with prolonged storage, because they're stored in liquid nitrogen, so very, very cold.
Lindsay and Tim Pierce say they didn't go into this thinking about records. They just wanted to have a baby. A monkey sanctuary in Mississippi is helping veterans with post-traumatic stress disorder find peace. John Richard has been grappling with PTSD for decades.
Being out here has brought back a lot of faith to me.
It all has to do with a spider monkey named Louie. Richard volunteers his time at the Gulf Coast Primate Sanctuary. It was founded by April Stewart, an Air Force veteran who said she developed PTSD as a result of military sexual trauma.
One of my coping mechanisms has always been animals.
Louie quickly scampered up to Richard and gave him sort of a hug.
I think about the animals walking around out here knowing that nobody's going to hurt them. You know, and it just brings a peace over me. It truly does.
Stewart says PTSD was destroying her life like a cancer.
By helping the primates learning to trust, we're also reteaching ourselves how to trust, and we're giving ourselves grace with people.
There are 3 spider monkeys, 2 squirrel monkeys, and 2 kinkajous at the sanctuary. I'm Ed Donahue.
So you're going to learn how to do a straight stitch.
Welcome to Grandma Camp. It's not summer camp for grandmas, but a summer program in Fullerton, California, where older women teach young people 8 to 14 how to do things like sewing, embroidery, clay jewelry, and cooking. Hakika Abdul-Rahim is a sewing instructor at Olive Summer Camp.
We're losing these skills. So many people are not using them anymore, so it's a real value to ourselves because we love the interaction with the younger group.
Student Miriam Abawi says it's fun spending time with someone not of her generation.
I like it because we get to connect and we get to learn like new skills like sewing and learning how to book fold. So I like learning those skills from people who have experience.
The summer camp is held in partnership with Golden Connections Club, which was started by a high school student last year to foster interactions between teens and elders. I'm Donna Warder.
Fireflies are lighting up the summer skies, but the glowing bugs are still on the decline. They put on a show. You look out at night and see the glow of a firefly, then another and another. Experts say a particularly wet spring may have created the ideal conditions for young fireflies to grow and glow.
It might give you kind of like a sense of false hope, right? That maybe the populations are quite big and that the species in our area are doing quite well. But we think that that's not the case.
Entomologist Jessica Ware at the American Museum of Natural History says firefly populations have been on the decline.
When it's very bright, they have a hard time seeing each other's species-specific signal. They can't communicate if they don't have the dark sky.
In an attempt to help them, turn lights off at night and avoid spraying lawns with insecticides. Ware says if there's a dry spring next year, the number of fireflies could drop again. I'm Ed Donahue.
Scientists say they have at last solved the mystery of what killed more than 5 billion sea stars off the Pacific coast of North America in a decade-long epidemic. Starting in 2013, a wasting disease caused a mass die-off of sea stars, also known as starfish, from Mexico to Alaska, devastating more than 20 species. The sunflower sea star was hit the worst, losing around 90% of its population. Early on, researchers suspected a virus, but that was ruled out. other efforts missed the real killer because researchers studied tissue samples of dead sea stars that no longer contained their bodily fluid. They have now identified a bacteria that can also infect shellfish and are hoping to find treatments or relocations of healthy populations to try to save the starfish, which are vital to the ecosystem. With fewer sea stars, the sea urchins that they usually munch on exploded in population and in turn gobbled up around 95% of the kelp forests in the area. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
A South African university is injecting rhino horns with radioactive material to stop poaching. The radioactive isotopes are harmless for the animals, but can be detected by customs agents.
Which is like then putting a massive bright light into the horn that no one can turn off.
Chief Scientific Officer of the Rhizotope Project, James Larkin.
In South Africa, if you're caught in possession of radioactive material, it's defined as a crime against the state. So theoretically, it can open up the possibility of a person being charged with, you know, that sort of offence, as well as wildlife trafficking offences.
The tests also confirmed that individual horns could be detected inside full 40-foot shipping containers. South Africa has the largest population of rhinos, at 16,000. High levels of poaching mean about 500 rhinos are killed every year for their horns. I'm Haya Panjwani.
Starting on Thursday, goods imported to the U.S. from more than 60 countries and the European Union became subject to tariff rates of 10% or higher. In Union City, California, Emerald Packaging hums with activity.
You go to the produce section and buy anything in a package there, that's probably us.
CEO Kevin Kelly says the Bay Area manufacturer of plastic wraps and bags is grappling with new tariffs imposed by the Trump administration.
We buy plastic from India, we buy plastic from Mexico, we buy plastic from Brazil. And all those are specialty plastics that aren't made in the United States.
Kelly says they've halted plans to buy a new printing machine and put hiring on hold.
Now that there's a clear field, we'll be raising prices.
He believes with farm worker deportations and the tariffs, supermarket shoppers will see higher prices on produce later this year.
This will flow through to the Krogers and the Walmarts.
Trump administration officials are lauding a plan to add 1,000 beds for immigration detainees to fill an Indiana prison already in use. Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem posts that if you are in America illegally, you could find yourself in Indiana's Speedway Slammer.
I don't know who came up with the name.
At the White House, reporters asked Border Czar Tom Homan about the new moniker.
But I'll say this, again, 1,000 beds come in very handy, and I'm glad the states are stepping up.
Leaders of Speedway Indianapolis, home to the iconic racetrack about an hour away from the Bunker Hill prison, say they weren't consulted. Homeland Security posted an image of an Indy-style race car emblazoned with ice rolling past a barbed wire prison wall. The image used by DHS featured an Indy car with the number 5. It's the same number as Pato O'Ward, the only Mexican driver in the series. Now IndyCar is asking that its intellectual property not be utilized moving forward in relation to this matter. Homeland Security officials say they'll continue promoting the plan with the new name. I'm Jennifer King.
Dr. Wafa Al-Rashid says she's serenading her husband, Tunisian musician Rami Othmane, outside an ICE facility in downtown Los Angeles. Othmane was picked up by ICE agents July 13th, and Al-Rashid says conditions he's been held under are not good.
There are no beds, no pillows, no blankets, no soap, no toothbrushes and toothpaste. And when you're in a room with people, the bathroom's open, there's no door. So it's very dehumanizing.
Al-Rashid acknowledges her husband overstayed his visa after arriving in the U.S. in 2015, but says the deportation order was dismissed in 2020. She says right before Saturday's rally, she learned her husband was moved to an immigration detention facility in Arizona. I'm Donna Warder.
The advocacy group Democracy Forward is suing the Justice Department and the FBI for records on their handling of the sex trafficking investigation into Jeffrey Epstein. The legal organization wants access to records related to communications about the case between senior administration officials, as well as any regarding correspondence between Epstein and President Trump. The group says it submitted requests under the Freedom of Information Act in late July that have not been fulfilled. The federal government often shields records related to criminal investigations from the public. The Justice Department did not immediately respond to a message seeking comment. The lawsuit was filed in federal court in Washington and appears to be the first of its kind. I'm Marcela Sanchez.
California, Democrats are weighing new political maps that could slash 5 Republican-held House seats, while bolstering Democratic incumbents in other battleground districts. The proposal comes in direct response to plans by Texas Republicans to redraw that state's congressional map, one backed by President Trump that could add 5 Republicans to the U.S. House.
California will not sit by idly and watch this democracy waste away.
Governor Gavin Newsom.
We'll fight fire with fire. We'll assert ourselves.
The map aims to boost the Democratic margin from 43 to 48 seats out of California's 52 congressional districts. But in California, such a plan would need approval from voters as well as lawmakers.
The ultimate test of transparency is what voters will decide on.
I'm Ben Thomas.
The White House says it'll start construction on a new ballroom in September. It will be the executive mansion's first structural change since the Truman balcony was finished nearly 8 decades ago. The president's been saying for months the White House needs a bigger space for big events. Spokeswoman Caroline Levitt says the 90,000-square-foot ballroom will fit the bill.
With a seated capacity of 650 people, which is a significant increase from the 200-person seated capacity in the East Room.
It won't be cheap.
President Trump and other donors have generously committed to donating the funds necessary to build this approximately $200 million structure,
which will be built where the East Wing currently sits. The ballroom's slated to be done before the president's term ends in early 2029. Sagar Meghani, Washington.
President Donald Trump is calling on the CEO of Intel to resign, saying on Truth Social that Lip-Bu Tan is highly conflicted. Tan responded saying he has always operated within the highest legal and ethical standards. Trump posted the comment after Senator Tom Cotton sent a letter to Intel Chairman Frank Yeary expressing concern over Tan's investments and ties to semiconductor firms that are reportedly linked to the Chinese Communist Party and the People's Liberation Army. It's not clear if Tan, who became Intel's CEO in March, divested his interests in the companies. Intel says it's deeply committed to advancing U.S. national and economic security interests and are making significant investments aligned with the president's America First agenda. I'm Donna Water.
A growing number of African Americans are relocating to Kenya, citing the need to connect with their history and culture, or coming home, a phrase often used among the Black community. Dozens have relocated in recent years, like 38-year-old retired veteran Kenneth Harris from Atlanta.
When I first came here, I felt like I was part of a family that I knew nothing about, and they welcomed me in.
9 months ago, YouTuber Austin Holloman settled in Kenya.
I picked Kenya because I feel the safest here. People look similar to me, or you could say they look like me.
Many say President Trump's administration is not the main reason they either moved or want to move. Rather, most say they've been mulling it for some time, and the current political environment in the U.S. pushed them to act sooner than initially planned. I'm Julie Walker.
As the U.S. continues to pressure Russia to end the war in Ukraine, it is now auctioning off the $325 million luxury superyacht Amadea. It's the first sale of a seized Russian superyacht since the launch of Russia's full-scale invasion of Ukraine. The 348-foot-long yacht, seized 3 years ago, features 8 staterooms, a helipad, and a beauty salon. The United States says that a former Russian politician, sanctioned by the U.S. in 2018 for alleged money laundering, owns the yacht, while a former Russian energy company official claims he owns it and says he'll pursue proceeds from the auction in court. U.S. prosecutors say he is actually only a straw owner of the yacht, used to conceal the yacht's true owner. The auction closes September 10th. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
The Australian government has announced YouTube will be among the social media platforms that must ensure account holders are at least 16 years old starting in December, reversing a position taken months ago on the popular video sharing service. Communications Minister Annika Wells says the government's implementing the law on behalf of parents who want and deserve better protection for their kids online.
We want kids to know who they are before platforms assume who they are, which is why I want to be clear about YouTube. The evidence cannot be ignored that 4 out of 10 Australian kids report that their most recent harm was on YouTube.
YouTube was listed as an exemption in November in Australia when the Parliament passed world-first laws that banned children younger than 16 from platforms including Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, TikTok and X. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
Britain's Royal Mail celebrates the crazy and silly sketches from Monty Python. You usually don't see these kind of things on stamps.
And now for something completely different.
There are stamps marking the 50th anniversary of the cult classic film Monty Python and the Holy Grail, and the scene where the Black Knight loses a limb.
'Tis but a scratch.
A scratch? Your arm's off.
No, it isn't.
Other stamps feature classic lines from the TV series Monty Python's Flying Circus.
That parrot is definitely deceased.
Not a mink. Nudge, nudge. Nudge, nudge. Say no more.
I'm a lumberjack and I'm okay. I sleep all night and I work all day.
The Royal Mail says the collection honors the body of work that has shaped the comedic landscape for nearly six decades. Monty Python stamps in Britain are on sale starting next week. A zoo in Denmark is asking people to donate their small pets as food for captive predators. On a Facebook posting, the Aalborg Zoo said, "Did you know that you can donate smaller pets to the zoo?" It also said chickens, rabbits, and guinea pigs make up an important part of the diet of their predators. The zoo offers assurances the pets will be gently euthanized by trained staff. The online call for pet donations is accompanied by a picture of a wildcat baring its teeth with its mouth wide open and a link to the zoo's website. It also notes the facility is interested in receiving horses. Research is being done to help find the staggering number of people who are missing in Mexico during decades of drug cartel violence. Part of the research includes dressing dead pigs in clothes and disposing the carcasses. Scientist Jose Luis Silvan says we conducted an experiment using animals as stand-ins for human bodies, which are buried, replicating the methods observed in the region. The pigs are put into plastic bags or wrapped in blankets. Mexico's disappearance could populate a small city. Silvan says we can't see the buried bodies directly with this technology. What we see are the effects those bodies have on the soil and vegetation. If the missing people are found, dead or alive, it's usually by their loved ones. Maribel Cedeño's brother was last seen 4 years ago. She says after death, there is life. When bodies go unfound and remain buried for a long time, they give life. I'm Ed Donahue.
Vietnam's VinFast has begun production at a $500 million electric vehicle plant in the center of India's auto industry as part of a larger $2 billion investment to expand into Asian markets. The new factory will start producing about 50,000 EVs a year with room to triple output. While Chinese EV makers and other foreign automakers have struggled in India, VinFast CEO Phamsan Chow says they hope to make this a launching pad for the region, even in the face of stiff competition.
India is the emerging automobile market, and we see here a lot of potential for VinFast growth here.
The market for EVs in India is very young, where two- and three-wheeled vehicles dominate the market. Last year, sales of four-wheeled passenger EVs made up only about 2.5% of all car sales there, but those numbers are increasing. The Indian government aims to have EVs account for a third of all passenger vehicle sales by 2030. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
I'm Terry Lipschitz, thanking you for listening. Audio provided by the Associated Press. Be sure to subscribe to Hot Off the Wire on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss an episode.